The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Can you hear me out there in the hall? Okay, great. So tonight is the first night for what we're calling the Beginner's Practice Group. And in the past, this has been a 4 or 5 week series that follows Gil's intro to mindfulness meditation series. And I think it was developed because a lot of people asked for it. They asked for something after the intro group because they wanted more practice and more time to build a stronger foundation of mindfulness practice. So my name is Shin Kwan Park, and this is Jim Podolsky and Diana Clark. And we've been training to teach together, and we're quite enjoying team teaching. So hopefully it's okay for you to see three of us up here instead of one. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to go over some of the basic, teachings that Gil taught, and we're going to go through mindfulness of breathing, body, emotions, and thoughts briefly, just to give a little bit of a review. And then we'll do guided meditation. And then we're going to introduce something new, a different teaching. So tonight it will be on the Four Noble Truths. and then you'll have about 20 or 25 minutes to break into small groups. And we're going to ask that you discuss amongst yourselves. I'm going to give you a few questions, and that'll give you time to, contemplate and think about how this practice and the teachings is looking for you right now. So hopefully it's supportive. I mean, the reason we do this is to support you in your practice and also to give us training to teach. So, and we'll have time for questions after each of the brief sessions. Okay? So Diana will start.
So, good evening. Can you hear me okay? I see some familiar faces. That's nice, from the intro class that just finished, 2 weeks ago. And one thing that I think is really great about these beginner practice groups is it's an opportunity to ask more questions, talk with each other, so because kind of build a little bit of a community as well as to bolster or support your practice, because it makes a big difference. Shin Kwan mentioned that the three of us are we're friends and we practice together, and now we're teaching together, and it makes a big difference to have somebody to share things with. And even Shin Kwan today, we were meditating and she was asking, do you guys do this? Does this happen when you meditate? So it's nice. It's really, it makes a difference. So I think that's a great opportunity. So I'm just going to talk for a little bit here, and then we're going to go into a guided meditation. First, I wanted to just introduce the idea of mindfulness, which is the practice, the primary practice we do here at IMC. So mindfulness is an opportunity for us to really see our lives more clearly and more deeply. It's a way for us to be present and really experience what is happening in our lives. So often we're preoccupied with our worries, our concerns, or our plans for the future, that we're not really present. And mindfulness is a practice to help bring us to the present, where we can really experience what we're experiencing and really be present for our lives, and therefore our lives become more rich. It also helps us when we're present in the moment, helps us to see things clearly and deeply. And Jim, when he talks later today, will talk a little bit more about what kind of things can we see clearly and deeply when we're with our mindfulness practice. So as part of the review, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about posture, because you don't hear that a lot, talking about posture. If you just come to IMC, if you come to Dharma Talks or any of the events here, there isn't a lot of talk about posture. And it can make a difference. Often, a posture that we take when we first initially sit down feels comfortable for a few minutes. But then when you start meditating in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and your mind is now on your body, you notice, oh, this actually is not so comfortable. And then it's easy to get into a struggle with the pain or the uncomfortableness, my knee, my back, should I move? Oh, and it's too easy to abandon kind of the practice then. So we've heard these before, but I'm just going to review them, some of the key points about posture. So one is to have kind of an alert spine. And one way to support that, one of the main ways to support that, is that if you're sitting on the floor, to have your knees lower than your hips. That helps with a small curve in your back, and it helps you kind of support your the natural curve of your back. And that also, if you're sitting for a long time and your knees are higher than your hips, you'll discover that it's uncomfortable in your hip joints here. Another thing is that to have your ears over your shoulders. And you may ask, well, of course they're over my shoulders, where else would they be? But in today's world, it's so common to spend time on the computer, to spend time driving, where you're leaning forward a little bit. In fact, you may notice when you meditate, if you're doing a lot of planning, it's just your body tends to go forward. So when I'm doing this movement, I'm kind of my chin forward. So something is to tuck your chin back and down just a little bit. Maybe in a way that's not quite exactly how you would do it when you're relaxed, but it's not in an unrelaxed manner. And you can notice that the back of your neck, there should be like a little opening, a little bit of relaxedness when you tuck your chin. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to say for those of you sitting in chairs, which is perfectly okay to sit in chairs. So many people sit in chairs. Many meditation teachers sit in chairs. It just happens that the three of us don't. There's many people who do. That this idea of about knees lower than your hips or equal to your hips when you're sitting in the chair for the same reason, to support an alert spine. And also, it's really helpful to not use the backrest. So, because that's like a more sense of alertness if you're using the backrest. Of course, you may get tired, or you may be specifically choosing to sit in a chair rather than sitting on the floor so that you can have the support for your back. That's fine. Some people find that if they put a small cushion in their lower back, helps them to be a little bit more alert while still also supporting them. And then with your hands, there's no specific instructions exactly what you should do with your hands, except that both hands should be doing the same thing. So you can have both hands on your thighs here. You can have your palms up. You can put one hand in front of the other, kind of here like above your ankles if you're sitting on the floor. Some people like will hold the four fingers and the thumb together when they're sitting here. It should be relaxed and natural. One thing to pay attention to is if your hands are a little bit forward, then it's easy for your shoulders to kind of go forward, and then you've lost that kind of alertness and the chin back. So it's something to kind of explore, like where is it most comfortable to have your hands that can support your spine so that you can stay alert. And then if you're new to sitting on the floor, it's not uncommon, not everybody has this, but it's not uncommon that perhaps one of your legs falls asleep. This is okay, but it's not a problem usually. That's not like a medical issue if your leg falls asleep. Sometimes I'll wiggle my toes if that's what's happening. Or if you let your leg stay asleep while you're meditating, then you can just make sure that you don't stand up right away, right when you're meditating. At the end of this session, you can just change your posture in a way and then stand up. Thank you, Xinquan. So do you want to, are you going to show us how, for those of you, I think this is a great alternative to sit on a bench. If I'm doing a lot of meditating, I will meditate for a while sitting on the cushion, and then I'll sit on a bench. And you can see how it doesn't require the same flexibility in your hip flexors, and it has your weight on your knees, but not all your weight. Yes. Thank you, Xinquan. And the same idea, right? The ears over the shoulders. And then maybe I'll stop there. So those are some of the basics of bowed posture. And if you have some questions about your specific posture or the specific way that you're sitting, you can ask us after the session today. Or you can, I didn't ask Xinquan and Jim, but you can ask me. And we're happy to help you with if you have questions about your posture. So now that we've talked about posture for meditation, let's go ahead and do a guided meditation. So we'll take a relaxed, alert posture, an alert spine, with our chin tucked, our hands relaxed. And you can take a few long, slow, deep breaths and feel your breath in your body. How does your body know that it's breathing? What are the sensations of breathing? So there's no need to do a special type of breathing. We're just relaxed, our usual breathing. Perhaps you can sense it in your belly or in your chest or in your nose. But the heart of this practice is just noticing what is happening. What is happening with your breath? And when your mind wanders, just very gently bring it back to the breath. There's no need for judgment or commentary about why you weren't on the breath. Just gently bring your attention back to the breath. you can explore, does an in-breath feel the same as an out-breath? When your mind wanders, you can very gently bring it back to the breath. Every time you return your attention to your breathing, you loosen up the preoccupations of your mind and come back to the present moment. If you find it difficult to keep the attention on the breath, if you'd like, you can try a very simple whisper in the mind of a little note of in with the inhale and out with the exhale. Just a little whisper in the mind. And when your mind wanders, very gently, without judgment, just bring your mind back to the breath. Right now, there's nowhere else you need to be. There's nothing that has to happen. See if you can give yourself over to paying attention to the breath. And when your mind wanders, very gently bring it back to the breath. for these last few minutes, see if you can keep your mind, your attention, on a few breaths in a row. As best you can. And then to end this session, bring your attention to your seat. Feel the cushion or the chair, and feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So the heart of mindfulness practice is noticing what is happening in the present moment. What is happening now? What is your experience? Some people have the idea that you meditate in order to have particular experiences. And they judge their meditation whether or not they had those particular experiences. But this practice is about training the mind. It's about training the mind to pay attention to that which you'd like to pay attention to, so that you can see deeply and clearly. For this meditation, we had to paint the breath as the object, what we were paying attention to. And the breath is a great object for meditation for a number of reasons. One is because it's changing a little bit. It's perhaps interesting to see how it inhale and exhale and differ, and maybe how the end of an inhale, how is that different than the end of an exhale, and how your breathing changes depending on kind of your thoughts. If you're lost in fantasy about something exciting, maybe your breath is a little bit faster. So it changes, and it's easier to keep our attention on something that is changing. Another reason why the breath is a good reason is that it can be an indicator to us kind of about our psychological or physiological well-being, right? Our breath can be a measure of how settled we are, how calm we are, or maybe how agitated we are as well. So it ties us to our inner life by watching something that's in the outer life, the breathing. But as I said, it's the heart of the practice is not the experience, but it's noticing what's happening. So if you're, while we just did this guided meditation, if you weren't able to keep your mind on your breath, that's okay. It's if you were to notice that your mind is not on the breath and to come back to the breath, that's the practice. It's the movement of coming back to having your mind, having your attention on the breath. It's the training of setting the intention of where you want your attention to go and then and doing so. So setting the intention, I'm going to pay attention to the breath, and then noticing when you're not. Just noticing and bring in your mind back to the breath. That's the practice. So maybe with that, as an introduction, we'll open it up to questions, either about the meditation we just had, or some of the instructions, or perhaps some things that have been happening, or questions you have about your practice outside of this session.
Yes, and can you wait for the mic? I'll bring it to you, just because the questions get recorded. And if you hold it up here.
Thank you. So I took some meditation like this a few years back. And one thing they did was that you would talk to yourself about relaxing. And then you say, I am relaxing my legs, my calves, my arms, my fingers, my face. And just walking through that, you know, from top to bottom, that seems to really help me. And then it just puts my body into sort of like a noodle thing, and then it just totally relaxes me.
Do you want to say?
So, can you hear me? So, that's fine. That's, I guess, a type of body scanning. And oftentimes we say in the first 5 minutes, it's very helpful to do that and go through and see if there's any areas where there's a lot of tension. You can notice that and see if you can let it go. Sometimes you can't let it go. You want to let it go, but it doesn't let go. It's persistent. It's been there for decades or years or whatever. And so then our instruction is, rather than struggle with it, just see if you can let it be there. So for some people, achieving calm and relaxation is really all they want from practice. It's one of the things that can happen with mindfulness practice, and it's very useful in order to have some level of calm in order for the mind to be more clear, in order for mindfulness to be more sharp. And so there's more to it than that in the way we're teaching it. It really depends on each individual and what they want to get out of it. So we're not saying it's a bad thing. If you want to be calm and relaxed, I totally understand, and that's fine. But what we're training the mind to do is a little bit more than that. We're using the calm and the state of relaxation to heighten our ability to see clearly, and from there establish more wisdom and compassion to live more fully and wisely in our lives. Does that make sense? Great. And you had a question. Could you pass the mic?
Now that we've learned the different meditations about the breath and about the mind and about the thoughts and about the body, when you sit down to meditate, do you consciously think, okay, now I'm going to do body meditation or thought meditation or breathing meditation? I mean, or do you do it all at the same time?
So the course is designed to give you an introduction to all the things that are happening that can come up. I think Gil suggests, and I would agree with this, to establish mindfulness of breathing first, if breath is a really good object of meditation for you. For some people, it's not. For some people, they struggle with it, and then it's not useful. That's something that you might want to ask also to one of us later, if it's not. When you establish some stability of mind using one thing, then what you can do is turn it, and then you can open up to that which is really calling your attention. So staying with the breath for as long as you can, and then if a body sensation, for instance, is really pulling and fighting for your attention, then turn towards that. Something going on in the body. If emotions are particularly strong because you had an argument earlier that day, or you're just coming from something intense, or something's going on in your family or workplace, then it makes sense to turn towards emotions because that's what's really up. If you have a monkey mind and it's just spinning, 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 spinning. And rather than fight that, once there's some stability, you can open up the attention to thoughts. So the reason the introduction was so that you have some skill and ability to work with all these things, and to know when it's wise to turn towards that. We say when it's really calling your attention, you will know. And if it can kind of rest in the background, then choose the breath. And if you just want to practice later on and say, well, I'm sitting, you know, somewhere on the bus, you know, and you don't want to close your eyes, you just want to pay attention to body sensations or something, you can play with it, different conditions, different times of the day, you know, depending on your life. Does that make sense? You guys want to add anything? Any other questions? Can we pass the mic this way and then we'll get over there? Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I have made a couple of observations in the past 5 weeks of our meditation sessions, and when I meditate and when I don't meditate. The times when I meditate, all the unpleasant events of my past comes into my thoughts. But when I'm doing my other activities like work or watching TV or being with friends or family, those events don't cross my brain. So I'm kind of confused what's happening to me while meditating. Is it helping me or it's not helping me?
This is a little bit about what Jim is going to talk about for his Dharma talk.
Yeah. I'll try to answer it without actually launching into a whole Dharma talk. As Diana was talking before about, or maybe it was Xinguang, about how there's, you know, there can be some tensions, and if it's easy to let go of them, you let go of them. Over time, as we start paying attention, things that have been that we've maybe unconsciously avoided looking at, things that maybe don't trust that we're willing to look at them when they show up, as we start to meditate, sometimes those things realize that you're now ready to see them. So things will start as you meditate. Things will start to come up that are maybe unresolved or unexamined. And so, shortly, I'll talk about how to work with that.
So I'm new to meditation and maybe not the idea, but I guess one thought is I don't know if I'm getting rid of or if preconceived notions about what meditation is when I'm thinking about this, but is there a goal to meditation? Like, is there a goal like have nothing in your mind? Is that a goal and we're just working towards that by thinking about things like the breath? And then I guess the other question is, as far as what mindfulness means when you turn your mind to the breath, I guess I'm just looking for if I turn my mind to something, what am I doing?
Yeah, well, your second question I think will be addressed in the Dharma talk that follows in terms of goal. You know, there's a way in which when we get up here and talk, it's we're not really prescribing what you do. It's not prescriptive. It's really kind of descriptive. But really, as you start to try this out, you're going to see, well, what does it mean to turn my attention? What does it mean to pay attention to something? And so in a way, this is a it's kind of a learning on the job type thing that we can't tell you exactly how to do mindfulness. You know, that it's really about what's it like to bring a kind curiosity to some part of your experience, you know, to look at it more closely and more deeply. I think one of the aspects of doing this is that there's a certain, that it's helpful to bring a gentleness to it, that it's not like, okay, right now I'm going to bring my attention to my knee, you know, and, you know, kind of do it in some kind of mechanical way. So I don't know, is that helpful or does that?
I think so. I mean, so it's kind of figure out what it means to you as you do it. Is that fair?
Yeah. And so mindfulness is sort of a skill. We're developing the muscle of mindfulness, an ability to know what's happening as it's happening in the present moment. And so, you know, paying attention to the breath, it might at first be, you know, some rather subtle sensation somewhere, and that as that muscle strengthens, you might notice that there's a lot more going on than you thought. So, yeah, so I'd say stick with it.
Sure, go ahead.
So I think what I got from your question was we're using the breath as just one tool or one focus or object meditation in order to bring the mind back to the present moment. So we're saying that all experience happens in the present moment, and oftentimes our mind are somewhere else, and our bodies are here. So we're trying to collect the mind to the body. So I guess our goal is not to empty the mind. Sometimes the mind can get very quiet. That can be like one of the things that happens with calm and with deep states of meditation. But that's not the goal. That's just something that's really sweet that happens sometimes, and it's really nice to be present for it. So we're learning how to be present for experience, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, and how we deal with them with more wisdom and compassion. Does that make sense? Great. So now Jim will... We're going to end.